All right, if you're ready, say, I'm ready. Last Sunday, we talked about Jonah 1, and we learned that Jonah is running from God. In chapter 2 today, we're going to learn that Jonah runs to God. And then a little spoiler alert, chapter 3, in the weeks to come, we're going to learn that Jonah is running with God. Chapter 4, Jonah decides that he has a better way, and he runs against God. So a few things from last week, if you missed, we learned that outcomes are up to God and obedience is up to us. There will always be a boat going the opposite direction. Would you agree? Sin takes you further than you want to go. It keeps you longer than you want to stay, and it costs you more than you could ever pay. We ask the question, what is your Nineveh and what is your Tarshish? We learned that Nineveh is the place that God is calling us to, and that Tarshish is the place that we run to instead. And right in the middle, there's this place called Joppa. It's a place of comfort, where I think in my mind, if I'm not being completely disobedient, but I'm also not being completely obedient, I'm just going to stay comfortable. And as a Christ follower, God has called us to step out of that comfort zone in faith. Amen. To what he has called us to do. We learn that our sin impacts everyone in our boat, everyone in our life, and I challenged everybody to wake up and own it. Would you tap your neighbor and say, wake up and own it? And then the one you ignored, say, that's you too. You need to wake up. We learn this is not a story about a man that relentlessly runs from God. This is actually a story about God relentlessly running after man. Because we know that you cannot outrun the grace of God on your life. Would you agree? You can't go too far. You can't say too much. I love this about God's grace. No matter how fast you are, if you run track for the U of A, you cannot outrun the grace of God on your life. He will meet you where you're at. There is hope for you. And there's a place here at this church for you as well. This story is wild to me. It's my favorite book of the Bible because it's one page. And I decided when I got saved about 12 years ago, I was like, I could read this one. I'm gonna get it in my heart. I'm going to memorize this. And I could relate a little bit with this guy named Jonah because the wind, the waves, the whale, and the worm in chapter 4 are more obedient than the prophet. And I don't know if you've ever felt that way, that you struggle with obedience, but God speaks, Jonah runs, a big storm is a result. Jonah volunteers, hey, throw me overboard, because Jonah would rather die than be obedient to God. Have you ever been in a dark place? Maybe it looks like disobedience. Maybe it's today. We see at the end of chapter 1, Jonah, in chapter 1, verse 17, this is how the story ended last week. It's where we're going to pick up. Now the Lord provided a huge fish to swallow Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish for 3 days and 3 nights. The title of today's message, if you like titles, write this down. It's called Fishy Grace. Not fish grease, fishy grace. I'm going to explain, because there is just something so fishy to me about the grace of God. It's really hard for me to wrap my mind around it. The definition of fishy is when something is a little suspicious, because if we open the word and we learn about God's grace, Jesus tells us, my grace is sufficient for you. Anybody thankful for grace? He says, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses so that the power of Christ may rest on me. The Bible says, for we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are. It says, yet without sin, let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace. This is so fishy to me. It says that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in a time of need. It says from his fullness, we've all received grace upon grace. I'm so thankful for that. Because I need not just grace, but I need grace upon grace. The Bible goes on and says that God opposes the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. For sin will have no dominion over you. This is good news. Since you're not under law, but you are under grace. Everybody say grace. Grace. I'm thankful for this grace, but it's so fishy to me because grace is the unmerited favor of God that is freely given to unworthy and undeserving sinful people by a holy, righteous God. This is fishy to me in my own eyes, in my own flesh, in my own perspective. And when I first gave my life to Jesus, I had a hard time receiving this grace because I felt like I needed to earn it. I didn't understand it. I knew that I didn't deserve it, but it's freely given because as humans, if maybe you would agree with me this morning, we are trained to work for the things we have, or at least you should be, all right? So when you receive a free gift, knowing this is from a perfect God and I am an imperfect, sinful person, it's just a little fishy to me. I've never been able to fully wrap my mind around this grace that we've received, but we see in chapter 1, in verse 17, that grace shows up like a fish, and it comes in like a flood. And Jonah, in chapter 2, verse 1, it says, from inside the fish, reporting life, all right? This is reporting life from inside the fish. Jonah prayed to the Lord, his God. Question. Have you ever been in a position where if God didn't show up, it ain't gonna end well for you? Oh, I know there's more people than that. Like you prayed this prayer, God, I promise you, if you do, and then fill in the blank. Okay? Some of y'all are like, yeah, I prayed that yesterday. If you do, and then in whatever follows that statement, then I will do, and then whatever that thing is that God wants you to do. God, please, I need your help. Jonah is tossed into the sea. He's bouncing across the bottom of the sea, as we're going to see in the text. The water's caving in. Have you ever swallowed salt water before? He's in a pretty vulnerable place. There's no room to breathe. Complete fear. Jonah had no idea that in this moment, that there was going to be a fish like a private limousine with Jonah's name on it that shows up. I always say it's like a modern day Uber to pick him up and take him where he's supposed to go. I would be willing to say if I was Jonah in that moment, I would think this is punishment for my sin. I've been thrown overboard. I was going to die at the bottom of the ocean, but now I got ate by a fish. I have wrestled with this all week. Did Jonah know that this was God? Did Jonah know that this was a vehicle of God's grace to get him to where he was supposed to go? This is fishy to me. It's fishy because Jonah does not deserve to be saved, and neither do we. It's fishy to me because he has sinned against God. He's run away from him. He has turned his back. But I've got good news this morning. Even if your back is turned, God's back is not turned on you. That there's this fishy grace. It is so suspicious. I can't really put words around it, but I know that my God gives it freely. Can we just be realistic this morning? Is that okay, church? Can we just do that? I just need y'all to go with me this morning. I want to be realistic about this. Can you imagine getting eaten by a fish? Just go there. Everybody close your eyes. Just think about what that would be like. Think about the smell. Keep your eyes closed, all right? Keep them closed. Think about the smell. There's no way that smells good. I'm thinking, like, we're not going to go there. Think about what you are hearing. It's just weird. Some of y'all, your eyes aren't closed. I need you to go there we need to go inside the whale, the big fish. Think about what you see. Here's the thing. Open your eyes. You don't see nothing. What you just saw in the well was just like the back of your eyelids. Complete darkness. Weird noises. Rushing water. Anybody claustrophobic? I am. I struggle when I go in the closet in the morning. I don't like being in this little tight space. I'm claustrophobic. I started thinking about this. The whole time I thought about Jonah, I didn't grow up and go to Sunday school. I told y'all last week I went to Saturday school a lot. And didn't grow up in church, so when I read this, I'm like, maybe this was a really big fish, and there was like, you know, those buses, and they've got the seats on the side, like maybe sitting in there, but that's not the case. There's probably no Wi-Fi, maybe, I mean, probably not. There's no comfort, there's no coffee. This brother is probably laying on his side, head first, inside of a fish, with everything pressing against him. I'm sure it's hard to breathe. I'm sure he can't see anything. And I'm sure that Jonah thought God was done with him and that this was punishment. But the truth is that this was just the beginning of God getting started. And it's beautiful. I was wrecked this week. I want you to write this down. God can use anyone and anything at any time to bring you back to Him. God can use anyone in anything at any time to bring you back to Him. As I've studied this text, I've dug deep in this, and a lot of people hear the story of Jonah that have grown up in church their whole life. There's three big beliefs about Jonah. As I've studied theologians, people who are way smarter than me, I've dug, and this is what I've realized. Some people believe that Jonah died inside the well and he came back to life. That's the first belief. The second belief, some people believe this is allegory, meaning that this is not a real story, that this is some fable or fairy tale that is supposed to teach us a lesson. Now, the third belief is what I believe, and I want you to know, if you believe either of those, we love you. You are welcome here. I just hope that you would jump on this boat with us today, okay? The third belief is I believe this is a true story. 100%, Jesus references Jonah. 2 weeks ago, we talked about Jesus going beneath the deck, and he goes beneath there. They wake him up to calm the storm. I encourage you to go back and listen to that. Jesus says in the New Testament, in the same way that Jonah was in the well 3 days and three nights, the Son of Man was in the earth. So if Jesus said it, I probably should believe it. Maybe, possibly. So maybe you're saying still today that, well, Seth, it can't be true because that just doesn't seem possible. Raise your hand if you've ever seen God do something that didn't seem possible. All right? If you're alive this morning, you should have your hand up. His grace and His favor and His mercy that is chasing us down. There's breath in our lungs. My heart is beating. There is blood rushing through my veins. That is a miracle in itself. Life is a miracle. So as I read the Bible, something that also seems a little strange. Well, there's a river that turns into blood. Frogs are falling from the sky. Let's just go there. Can we go there this morning? There's a virgin birth. Figure that one out. Lot's wife turns into a pillar of salt. Don't pray that prayer this morning, all right? I know y'all, it may be tense on the car right here. Don't pray that, all right? There's a talking donkey in Shrek chapter 4. That's not a real Bible chapter, but listen. This is real. This is an ultimate. You should go look at this. It's crazy. There's a teleporting incident. There's water coming from a rock. There's a talking burning bush. Some of y'all are like, I didn't even know this. Go read the Bible. It's wild. There's a talking burning bush. There's water that splits multiple times and stands up. There's a man that lives a sinless life, dies on a cross for all of humanity. He goes into a tomb. He doesn't stay there. 3 days later, he resurrects from the grave to give you and me access to a loving Father in heaven. To cover our sins, let me tell you, if you struggle with Jonah, you're going to struggle with Jesus. Because that is crazy. Are y'all with me this morning? That's wild. And when I think about the impossible, I know that my God is able. Jonah tells us all through his story that God is able to do exceedingly and abundantly more than we ask, think, or imagine. He had no idea grace was showing up as a fish. I'm convinced. Jonah's got a crazy testimony. Y'all ever played Two Truths and a Lie? He wins every single time. I was in a well for 3 days, three nights, and it took me where I was supposed to be spending my life, you know? Lie, wrong, you know? This is crazy to me. So we have to understand this morning, this is our lens as we read chapter 2, that God is a big God. That He is so compassionate, He is so powerful, He is so loving, He is so gracious that He can use anyone and anything at any time to bring us back to Him. So I want to go back to the first 8 words that we started with. From inside the fish, Jonah prayed. What did Jonah do? He prayed. Jonah's a prophet. Jonah knows the voice of God. Jonah prays often. Jonah was a man of prayer. Jonah, he's used to doing God's work. He's used to hearing from God. Jonah is used to being in God's presence. And Jonah gets met with a difficult responsibility and request from the Lord. And he does what many of us do. He goes what? The opposite direction. I've been wrestling with this question all week. You can ask Steve. We write messages together. I have been I've been searching the text, and I cannot wrap my mind around this, and I just need to be transparent with you today. Why did it take Jonah getting to this point in his life before calling on God? Why does Jonah let his life get this bad before calling out to God? Y'all, we don't see Jonah praying anywhere in chapter 1 from what I know. He owns it. I've been disobedient. Throw me overboard. I'm the reason that this storm has come upon you. But just go with me. Jonah, God speaks to Jonah. He flees to Tarshish. He gets on a boat to Joppa. He pays the fare. He goes to sleep. He causes the storm. And he's so casual about everything. He gets thrown overboard. He goes into the ocean. The whale comes and gets him. All that stuff happened. Listen, Jonah makes it to Joppa. He didn't pray. I've realized there's levels to our disobedience. There's opportunities to obey. It's not just a one-time opportunity. There's these moments, y'all know the moments that we go away from God, where we know what we should do, but we keep going down the path of sin and disobedience. And when he's looking for a boat to get on, I bet he didn't pray about that. He bought a one-way ticket. He paid the fare. He didn't pray. In the middle of the storm that could have killed him and everyone else on the boat, he didn't pray. He doesn't even say to the sailors, "Let us join together and pray." He's a prophet. "Throw me into the sea." He didn't pray about that. He's bobbing around in the sea. He doesn't pray. He's on the bottom of the ocean. He doesn't pray. And a fish shows up. And it teaches us a valuable lesson this morning. That even in the midst of you running full speed the opposite direction, God will meet you right where you're at. If someone told you growing up that you got to get your stuff together before you come to God, they lied to you. He will meet you right in the middle of your sin, and he will do the cleaning for you. He relentlessly pursues Jonah. I've been searching this week, and I cannot figure out. And honestly, all the stuff I just told you, it's not even important. Because it doesn't matter if Jonah prayed or not on the boat. It doesn't matter if he prayed about the decision for Joppa or whatever I just explained to you. What matters is that he's in a vulnerable position, and what he does in the middle of a fish is he cries out to God. He cries out to God. The actual translation for where he was at in the depths of the sea, at the bottom of the sea, the realm of the dead, it's the word Sheol, which means hell. It means hell. He's in the middle of what seems like hell, and he still isn't praying. Jonah's life, hear me, feels like he's going through hell, and he's still not praying. And I think somebody here could relate with that this morning. I just wonder how many people this morning, you feel the same way. Maybe you're going through it, and you need to call upon the Lord today. We're going to have a time for you to do that. Maybe you feel too far. You're too far gone. I've seen too much. I've said too much. You've made too many mistakes. Listen, regardless if you're a prophet, a preacher, a pastor, a teacher, a mom, a dad, a grandparent, a coach, a teacher, whatever it may be, whatever your title is in life, it doesn't matter who you are, where you came from, what you've done. You cannot outrun the grace of God. You can't. And I've learned when you come to the end of yourself, you come to the beginning of God. Maybe you've experienced this firsthand. Maybe you'll experience this today. I've learned that we can get on our knees before God, or I can be brought to my knees before God. Another way to say this is you can be humble and pray, or you can be humbled and pray. Anybody ever been in a situation like that? I have so many times. God speaks to Jonah. He shuts his ears. He shuts his heart off to God. He shuts his eyes off to God. His life is shut off to God. But this is where this fishy grace comes in like a flood. Jonah can't earn it. He doesn't deserve it. But what does God do? He gives it freely. And maybe you grew up in a strict religion. Your whole life you've been taught you better get your ducks in order. You better look the part. You better talk the part. You better, when you walk in those doors on Sunday, you better get right with God. Please hear me. Get right with God on Monday too. I need him on Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Friday night, Friday midnight, Saturday. We need Jesus. And I want to ask this question before I give you some practical things today. How low will your life have to go before you give God a chance with it? I know this is direct, and I don't apologize for being direct. How low will your life have to go before you give God a chance with it? I sit with people every week that are rolling around in the middle of sin, and they're wondering why their life looks this way. And I just want to offer this suggestion to trust the Lord, the creator, the maker of heaven and earth. He's got a pretty good resume. Jonah 2, verse 2, it says, he said, that was just verse 1, we digress. He said, in my distress, I called to the Lord, and he answered me. This is good news. From deep in the realm of the dead, I called for help, and you listened to my cry. In the middle of distress, I love this. Jonah calls to God. What does God do? He answers. He answers. I love this story I'm about to tell you. I have laughed so many times about this story. Our worship pastor, Pastor Andrew, everybody say, hey, Andrew. He's sitting up here. He's given me permission to share this. He got a new dog, all right? This dog is the cute. Will y'all throw that picture up of that dog? Don't keep it up too long. I don't want it to be distracting. All right, take it down. All right, they're just going to stare at the dog. Y'all, listen, I'm going to prove to you God can use anything to get you to where you're supposed to go, all right? God has been using this little puppy. Jovi is this puppy's name, and the sweetest little dog. It is just amazing. His daughter is in love with this little dog. Andrew's not yet, but God has been using this dog to teach Andrew about the fruits of the Spirit, specifically patience. And he's potty training this dog. If y'all got advice, please come help my brother out, all right? And he came into staff meeting, I think it was a couple weeks ago, and I noticed he looked tired and sad. And Andrew's always like very like life-giving. And I was like, bro, you good? He was like, no. I was up at 2 a.m. My dog pooped all over the house. And I chased it around, it ran and it ate its poop, and then it ran through its poop, and then it jumped in our bed and jumped on us. And he's like, I'm dealing with diarrhea pause, Seth. And I was like, I've never heard diarrhea pause, but that's interesting. I was laughing, but this other story he told me is the funniest thing. The other night, he said that Jovi got a hold of his underwear, not while he was wearing them, but they were on the floor, and I'm not sure why they were on the floor. Sorry, Andrew. And so Jovi gets a hold of his underwear and takes off through the house. If y'all got a dog, y'all know this frustration, especially if it's tiny but mighty and disobedient. And so he takes off running to get this dog, and he's chasing it, jumps up on the couch. And Andrew is looking at the dog, and he's like, when I call, you answer. When I call, you answer me. And Andrew said he looks to the right, and Rachel's looking at him and just in disgust. His wife's looking at him. And she's like, when I call, you answer? What's the dog going to say to you, Andrew? He told me that story. I could not stop laughing. So you need to know this. We're singing that song at the end of service. Do not laugh during that song, all right? It's going to be really hard to get that out of your mind. Get it out of your mind. All right. Hear me, please. Isn't it crazy when God calls to us, we rarely answer with obedience, but every time we call to him, he answers? I've been wrestling with this all week, and I'm like, this is fishy grace to me. Because my whole life, I've been taught you got to earn, you've got to deserve, you've got to work hard, you've got to do all these things. And Jesus says, come to me as you are and receive grace. Turn from your sin. Write this down. Please write this down. This is practical stuff right here. When you don't know what to do, pray. Pray. It's the simple things that go out the window first. When you don't know what to do, pray. Call upon the Lord because he answered, and he answers. I've realized this. A lot of people stop praying because they feel like God is not answering them, or they don't like the answer that he's giving. I want to suggest to you, God answers prayers three ways. He says, yes, no, and not yet. And oftentimes, if God says no or not yet, we decide we're not going to pray anymore. I had this revelation this morning. We will take a no and we run the opposite direction. Listen, there's been so many times in my life that I've tried kicking down doors that God purposely shut in my life. There's also been many times in my life that I have tried slamming doors shut that God purposefully opened. And I want to suggest to you this morning, over the last 10 years, I've realized this. I have learned that prayer is not the key that opens the door. Prayer is the key that helps you understand if the door is supposed to be open or shut. God is not this genie where you go to him and he makes everything work good for you and everything's going to be great. The God that I read about says that you are going to lay down your life for the sake of the gospel. That you will suffer, there will be sacrifice, there will be hardship, there will be pain, there will be tribulation, but let me tell you, baby, it's worth it. I don't want to give up on prayer because God answers differently than I wish he would. Prayer should not be our last resort, but it should be our first choice, amen? Anybody watch Ghostbusters growing up? If there's something strange in the neighborhood, who are you going to call? Thank you, church. Thank you. I wasn't sure how that was going to go. If there's something weird and it doesn't look good, who are you going to call? That's right. Let me ask you this. When your car breaks down, who are you going to call? The mechanic. Some of y'all said my uncle. When your house gets robbed, you're going to call the police. When your house catches on fire, you're going to call the fire department. But this is what I've realized. It's crazy to me that when everything is falling apart and failing in our life, we forget to call upon the God that never fails. It's like we black out. We start taking matters into our own hands. We call upon ourselves. We call upon self-help. We'll read the newest book, the 12 steps of how to do this, the 5 steps of how to do this. We'll do all of these things except call upon the Lord. Listen, calling upon yourself in a desperate time of need is like calling PetSmart when your house is on fire. Just imagine, just go there with me. They pick up the phone. Yeah, my house is on fire. Can you send people quick? Sir, we sell guinea pigs and hamsters. We sell dog food. That's how silly it looks when we try to take matters into our own hands and God is saying, just call and I will answer. If you've got a need, just call. I will answer. I want to meet you where you are at. When you don't know what to do, call upon the Lord. This is what I've realized. As humans, we will call out to anything and everything before the one who can actually change everything. God wants to meet you where he's at. I want to give you something very practical and helpful this morning. It's the shortest and most effective prayer you can pray. Write this down. God, comma, help. If you want to be polite, say please. God, help. Some students in here, maybe you just started school. Maybe for those that will watch this video later on, you just started school. You're sitting in a class already. School just started, but you just realized in that class, this is not going to go well. Y'all ever been in one of those classes? Every math class was like that. Every science class, every class was like that for me. This is what you need to pray. God, help. Young people, the world is crumbling around you. It's beating you up. It's tearing you down, and it is trying to spit you out. You need to ask the Lord for help. Young adults in the room, pressures are caving in. Everybody else is doing it. Insecurity, anxiety, and stress is weighing you down. You think your life should look different than it looks right now. You need to pray, God, would you help me? Spouses in the room. Uh-oh. Tension at home. Tension at work. Tension with the kids, with our finances, with communication. God, will you please help my spouse? Don't pray that prayer. God, help me. You just got it. All right. Parents of young kids. Parents, hear me. Y'all just need to say, God, help. Just got help. I don't know what to do. I'm going to do my best. I need your help. Empty nesters and grandparents, you're not off the hook. Maybe you feel like your best days are behind you. Maybe you genuinely feel like you missed out on God's best for your life, but what you need to know is that God's best days are actually ahead of you. And you need that perspective, but you can't have that perspective in your flesh. All you can think of is the reality of the situation you're in. Your kids may be running from God. You may have a prodigal. You may have a financial situation that you are in dire need. Can you hear me today? God, help. Oh, you would be shocked if you just prayed that prayer and watch what God would do. Jonah says, God, in my distress, I called and he answered. I called and you listened to my cry. When I go to people's houses for dinner, we'll be gathered, we'll have lunch or whatever, and when it's time, like sometimes I forget to bless the food because I'm always hungry. Right now, I'm hungry. And so I'll start eating. People are like looking at me. And I'm like, I know y'all don't pray for the food unless I'm here. Like, you know, and so I don't say that. I'm saying in my spirit. But sometimes I sit there. Sometimes I sit there. I'll be sitting there. And I'm like, do I just make the move? And then they'll be like, would you like to pray, Pastor? And this is what I do sometimes. And I don't know if God's in this, but I do it. All right. I'll say, why don't you pray? And they'll be like, it's like they choked on the food, but they haven't even eaten yet. Well, you're the pastor. And I'll say, but you are a Christ follower. And here's the beautiful thing. I don't have a special cell phone where God talks to me. I wish I did. God will speak to you the same way he speaks to me. If you open up the word and you open up your heart and you open your eyes and your ears to God and you say, God, help, will you please speak? He is a man of his word and he will speak. And he just wants his kids to call on his name. Write this down, please. When you don't know what to pray, speak the word of God. When you don't know what to pray, speak the word of God. So when you don't know what to do, pray. But when you don't know what to pray, speak the word of God. We've got to get the word inside of our hearts for moments where we need to cry out to the Lord. We have to remember what he says about us, what he says about him, and what he says about our circumstances. I've got a note in my phone that when I am stressed out, when I'm dealing with anxiety, when I'm praying for a family in need, I will pull up this doc and I'll start reading scripture. Come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. That's my God. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. If you don't have a note like this in your phone, I suggest you get one. You got some weapons ready to fight the devil. Surely God is my salvation. I will trust and I will not be afraid. Because the Lord himself is my strength and my defense. I could go on all day. But what happens in this chapter is Jonah uses several phrases from the Psalms. These had been written. He knew these scriptures. You'll see the parallel. Psalm 18:6, he says, in my distress, I called upon the Lord. Psalm 42:7, deep calls to deep in the roar of the waterfalls. Your waves and breakers have swept over me. Psalm 31, I'm cut off from your sight. Yet you heard my cry. Listen to Jonah 2. Listen to this. He said, in my distress, I called to the Lord, and he answered me. I'm regretting this shirt today. From deep in the realm of the dead, whew, I called. I'll listen to you next time, Kendra. I repent. Amen. I called for help, and you listened to my cry. You hurled me. Here it is. You hurled me into the depths, into the very heart of the seas. And the currents, they swirled about me. Your waves and your breakers, they swept over me. I said, I've been banished from your sight, yet I will look again towards your holy temple. Jonah says, I will look again. Will y'all say that with me? I will look again. What does that mean? He looked away. Y'all ever looked away? I have. I looked away this week. I trusted myself instead of God. I leaned on my own understanding in a couple situations where I should have asked God because I desperately needed him. Jonah repositions himself to be obedient to God, to go preach the gospel. I don't want to spoil next sermon, but he goes to preach the gospel to people he literally despises. We're going to talk about who those people are in this series for you. Who those people are that you don't want them to get saved because you don't want to spend the rest of eternity with them. I don't blame Jonah sometimes. But God says, go to your enemy and preach the message of salvation. Write this down. Instead of looking to yourself, look to God. Jonah's eyes are back on God. His life is in position to be obedient. And this is what the word says. The engulfing waters threatened me. The deep surrounded me. The seaweed has wrapped around my head. To the roots of the mountains I sank down. This is talking about direction again. The earth beneath it barred me in forever. Have y'all ever noticed when you're in the middle of sin, it feels like you're in prison? You're barred in, you're chained up. It feels like you can't go anywhere, do anything. So instead of looking to yourself, I suggest we look to God. It says, but you, Lord, my God, you brought my life up. Everybody say up. From the pit. And it says, when my life was ebbing away, I remembered you. Lord, and my prayer rose to you, to your holy temple. Jonah had been going down for a long time. He went down to Joppa. He went down onto the boat. He went down into the bottom of the ship. He went down into the water. They threw him down to the depths of the sea. He went down to the bottom of the ocean, and he was down in a very vulnerable spot in the belly of a fish. And I don't know if he went down to his knees because he was probably in a really uncomfortable position, but his heart got in a posture of prayer and God started changing his circumstances. Those who cling to worthless idols, they turn away from God's love for them. But I, with shouts of grateful praise, will sacrifice to you. What I have vowed, I will make good, and I will say salvation comes from the Lord. Hear me. In one moment, Jonah goes from despising these people to saying, God, I'll do whatever you want me to do. Have y'all noticed when you get your eyes off yourself and you get them onto God, you'll say yes to things you would never say yes to? You'll start doing things you never thought you would do. Jonah goes from complete rebellion to complete submission and obedience to God. How? Because when you come to the end of yourself, you come to the beginning of God. When you don't know what to do, you pray. When you don't know what to pray, you just speak the word of God. And the last thing, I got to get this, make sure that we hear this with this story today. When you don't know what to do, do the last thing God told you to do. Some people are like, I need a new revelation. No, you don't. You need to do the last thing God asked you to do. God, speak to me. He already did. We ran. Some of us have ran from the same thing for 10 or 15 years. And you're begging God for a new word, and he's saying, I've given you the word, and his word does not change. So we're going to have a moment at the end of service today where we can go back to a place and think about maybe the thing that God asked us to do that we've been running from. I love the Bible. It says in verse 10, and the Lord commanded the fish, and it vomited Jonah onto dry land. I was going to show you all this video today, but it was completely inappropriate. My last day as a youth pastor, I went out with a bang, and there was a couple thousand students at our conference, and I decided I was going to eat a live goldfish on stage, and I made the mistake. My buddy ate one with me. He was up there. I'll show you the video sometime, not today, because the Spirit of God may just completely leave. And I accidentally ate it facing like its head going down, like up. That's what it was. It was facing up, and so I got it down, and I was like, you know, all students are laughing, and I was like, oh. And that thing fought its way up. And I threw up this fish in a fishbowl and it swam around. And a student wanted it. I don't remember if we gave it to the student. If we did, God, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. That one of our friends last night, we were sending it in our pastor's group thread across the state, and he said, that's a reverse Jonah. I was like, I ate the fish. I'll show you who's boss. All right. Listen, dry land is a firm place for you and your family to stand. And some of you in the room this morning, you feel like everything around you is sinking sand. You feel like you're walking through mud. Can I encourage you this morning? That's not God's plan. He wants to put you on a firm foundation. I've learned in my life that God's grace will capture you and then it will release you. It will throw you up onto dry land so that you can tell everybody about the grace you've received. That's my story and I'm sticking to it. I don't know about you, but when I read about Jonah, this is some fishy grace. This is fishy to me. This is suspicious to me because I can't come to grips in my mind how he could earn it or deserve it. And what I've settled in my spirit is you can't. But God wants to give it freely this morning. I want us to be humble, church. I want us to be so quick to get into a posture of prayer. I want us to be so quick to be sensitive to the word and the voice of God. Will y'all say this with me? Say, God, please help.